Good morning.
It's good to be with you again this morning. Begin in Acts chapter 18 this morning, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles there. Acts chapter 18. In the latter part of the book of Acts, the primary focus for much of it is on the work that Paul is doing in spreading the gospel. And there in the 18th chapter, around verses 22 and 23, we see the completion of what we refer to as his second missionary journey. And when we get into chapter 19, it's going to again pick up on the wording. But there in verses 24 through 28 of Acts chapter 18, there's five verses here that talk about a man named Apollos. And I want to read those five verses for our introduction here this morning. Acts chapter 18, beginning at verse 24. Says, "A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ." We'll come back to this passage in a few minutes, things that we can glean from this about Apollos and the work that he was doing. But I first just want to recognize a phrase that's used there in Acts 18, 25, about halfway through the verse, to describe this man named Apollos. It says he was fervent in the Spirit. And there's one other time in Scripture that I'm aware of that that phrase fervent in spirit is used, and it's in Romans chapter 12, when the Holy Spirit through Paul is talking about the kind of lifestyle that a Christian should be living when he or she goes through this transformation process and determines to give their lives to God. Part of the conduct that we then put on is this quality of being fervent in spirit, as Romans chapter 12 and verse 11 points out. And so being fervent in spirit is not just something that God expects of individuals who are speaking as Apollos was, but it's something that he expects of all Christians. And so this morning I want to look for a few minutes about this phrase fervent in spirit to try to better understand what that's referring to and how we can be fervent in a way that's pleasing to God. The first question that we want to ask is, what does it mean to be fervent? We don't use this word fervency perhaps as much as it may have been used in New Testament times. And so we just want to take a step back and define what it is that we're talking about when we talk about being fervent. And the word for fervent that is used there in Acts 18, 25, and also in Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, is a word that means to be hot or to boil. And to see an illustration of what this is referring to, as God is not talking about a literal heat, but he's talking about a heat that is a heat that leads us to be very passionate about something. But a good illustration of this is in Revelation chapter 3. In Revelation chapter 3, here Jesus was speaking to the church at Laodicea. And you recall that the church at Laodicea, he said that they weren't cold or hot there in verse 15. And so in verse 16 there, he tells them, "Because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." So this was a church that wasn't cold. They weren't opposed to God, but they also weren't hot. They weren't real passionate about the work that they were doing. It appears that they were apathetic about the work that they were doing for God. And down at verse 19, notice Jesus tells them, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." That word zealous that is used there comes from the same word for fervent, and it means to have warmth. We'll look at several passages here this morning that have the word zeal or zealous or zealously. And when we look at those words being used, they're the same Greek words are very similar. They're Greek words that come from the Greek word translated fervent in Romans 12, 11. And they all relate to this idea of heat. And as they talk about having heat, we can see from the context here of Revelation 3, it's clearly not talking about a literal heat, but it's talking about being very passionate about something, having such a great passion that it could be said that we are on fire for whatever it is that we are zealous for. Sometimes we hear the phrase used today, I need to get a fire lit under me, or my heart was set on fire, or something to that effect. And when that phrase is used, it's not a literal fire, but it's talking about having a great passion for something. And that's what we're talking talking about when we talk about fervency. It's being so passionate about whatever it is we are directing our fervency toward that it could be said that we are on fire. We are hot over whatever it is that we are fervent about. In John 2, there's a good illustration of this. John chapter 2, there Jesus was in Jerusalem for the Passover, and he went into the temple. And it says in verse 14 that he found some who were perverting the temple by selling oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. These were sacrifices that were offered at the Passover, and some people were using this occasion to try to make money by selling oxen and sheep and doves and doing it in the temple. Some people were there exchanging money because there had to be certain currency that a person needed in order to purchase these animals that were used for sacrifices. But the point is that they were completely perverting the use of the temple and turning it into something that they would use for their earthly benefit to make money off of. And notice when Jesus saw this taking place, what his reaction to this was. Verses 15 and 16, talking about Jesus, it says, when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. And he said to them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And Jesus there, as he had this reaction, his disciples recognized he is fired up about this. They were reminded of a passage in Psalm 69:9 that says, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. They saw that Jesus was hot, so to speak. He was so passionate about this error that was taking place and getting it corrected that they said, that they were reminded of this passage, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And that's a good illustration of what it means to be fervent about something, to not be apathetic towards something as the church at Laodicea was, but to be on fire for something, to be very passionate about something, and to have heat in a spiritual sense directed at whatever it is that we are fervent towards. And so as we think about this definition of fervency, we can then come to realize as we reflect on this that fervency is not always a good thing. Fervency can cause a lot of harm if it is misdirected. It can do a lot of good if it's properly directed, but it can also be misdirected. In Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 6, Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 6, as the Holy Spirit through Paul is talking about his life prior to his conversion, Paul says there, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. And so as you notice, those two phrases used there together when Paul was discussing who he was before he was converted, he says his zeal actually led him to persecute the church. And if we only see zeal as a good thing, then this passage can be somewhat perplexing, but it shows us that zeal is not always a good thing. If it is misdirected, it can actually cause a lot of harm rather than causing good. We see this brought out in Galatians chapter 4 as well. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 17. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 17. Here, this is Paul talking after his conversion about some individuals who were teaching false doctrine for the churches at Galatia. They were binding parts of the law of Moses as God's doctrine under the law of Christ. And Paul was pointing out that what they were teaching shouldn't be obeyed and followed. But notice what he says about these false teachers in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 17. He says, they zealously affect you, but not well. Zealously affect you, but he says it's not well. It's not a good thing what they're doing for you. But notice verse 18 says, it is good to be zealously affected, always in a good thing. And so it contrasts when zeal is a good thing and when zeal is a bad thing. And the difference between the two is when our zeal is properly directed at things God wants it to be directed at, and when our zeal is misdirected at things that God does not want us to direct our zeal towards. And so we want to make sure that our zeal is properly directed. And this is important for two very basic reasons. One of them is that God wants us to have the type of heart that He desires that pleases Him, and He examines our hearts and makes sure that our hearts are right. But also, what we are zealous about, it's not just in our hearts, but it's going to be revealed in our actions, in our words. Our actions and words show us what we are fervent about. If you notice in Galatians chapter 1, Galatians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, there is Paul, again, talks about his life prior to his conversion. He said there in verse 14 that he is more, was more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of his fathers. And what being exceedingly zealous of the traditions of his fathers led him to do. It led him to persecute the church prior to his conversion. It led him to do things. It was a zeal that was in his heart, but it was a zeal that was revealed in his actions and in his words. Back there in Acts chapter 18, the example of Apollos, who was described as being fervent in spirit, his fervency was a part of what we might call the inward man. It was a part of his character. But his fervency was revealed in the things that he did and in the things that he spoke. There, verse 25 points out that he was teaching diligently the things of the Lord, but he only knew the baptism of John, so he was teaching part of the truth, but not the complete truth. So Aquila and Priscilla took him aside and taught him the way of God more perfectly. And verse 27 and 28 go on to point out, and after he learned the way of God more perfectly, says that he was helping those who had believed through grace. And verse 28 says he mightily convinced the Jews and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. And so his fervency that he had led him to act. It led him to speak in a way that demonstrated that he was very zealous for teaching the will of God. And so whether we are zealous in a good way or zealous in a bad way, meaning whether we are properly directing our zeal or misdirecting our zeal, it's going to be revealed in our actions and in our words. So it's very, very important that we make sure that our zeal is properly directed. And so we want to look at some examples in Scripture of things that we can misdirect our zeal towards or our fervency towards that will actually cause a lot of harm rather than causing good. And one example that we might consider is the example of someone serving God in a way differently than what he has commanded. In Romans chapter 10 and in verse 2, Paul there was talking about these Jews who he had a great love for, and it was his prayer to God that they might be saved. But he said there in verse 2, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. And so these are individuals who were very fervent about God, very zealous about God. They were on fire for the Lord, we might say. But their zeal wasn't according to knowledge, and so they weren't serving God in the ways in which he had commanded. And there's a number of ways that we can do that we can have a zeal for something that's religious at least to an extent, or have a zeal for God to an extent, but we're not properly directing that zeal, and as a result, could be causing harm rather than causing good. John 4:24 talks about how we're to worship God in spirit and in truth. And there are a lot of individuals who are very, very zealous about worshiping God, but they're zealous about worshiping God in a way that they've determined is correct rather than in the way that God has determined is correct. There might be individuals who are very gifted and talented musicians and well-trained musicians who can play the piano real well, or they can play the harp real well, or they can play the guitar real well, and they do that in worship to God, and they're very zealous about that. They're very passionate about the fact that they say, I can serve God through this great talent and ability he's given me, and they're very passionate about that, and that zeal for God in itself is good, but it's misdirected. It's directed towards things that God has not commanded, because if we look in his word in the New Testament, we see that the way he's commanded to worship him in song is very simple. It's simply to sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. Whether we're talented or not, well-trained or not, we're simply to focus on the words that we're singing. And when we do so and sing to him, it's a very beautiful sound. And that's what is pleasing to the ears of the Lord. But some people can be very zealous about things that are pleasing to the ears of mankind. And because they're pleasing to the ears of mankind, they assume, well, this must be pleasing to the ears of God. But it's not something that he's told us in his word that is pleasing to him at all. And so we might be zealous toward God, but that zeal is misdirected. There are some who are very zealous about teaching, but the teaching that they're doing is actually causing harm instead of good because it's not based upon God's word. In James chapter 3, the entire chapter there in James chapter 3 deals with the misuse of the tongue and how dangerous the tongue can be if we don't tame our hearts to make sure we're using it properly. But there in the first verse, he talks about how dangerous it is to use the tongue for false teaching. It says, there be not many masters, knowing we shall receive the greater condemnation. Meaning false teachers are going to be judged very, very harshly. It doesn't mean that no one should teach, but it means if you teach falsely, you're going to be judged very, very harshly. And so we need to be careful about the things that we teach. And there are a lot of people who are very zealous to teach, but what they're teaching is not from God's Word, and they share that with others very zealously, and what they're actually doing is they're actually causing harm rather than causing good, because they're spreading false doctrine. And they're bringing harm upon themselves, as this verse alludes to, and they're bringing harm toward others. And we need to be very careful that our zeal for teaching is properly directed and based upon the Word of God. There are some who are very zealous to listen to religious messages, but the message they want to listen to is something that will tickle their ears, or something that will make them feel good about themselves, make them feel as though they have nothing to change, they just need to stay as they are, and they'll be fine. And it's true that sometimes when we study the Bible, if we're obedient children of God, it's going to make us feel really good, and it should. And some passages will do that, but at the same time, Christianity is a growth process, and we need to be continuously growing and becoming more like what God would have us to be, and that requires us to be digging into His Word and looking for areas of our lives that we need to improve upon and grow in. And there are some people who are zealous to hear religious messages, but they're not really looking for that. They're just looking for things that will sound pleasant to them or sound like what they want to hear. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Paul warns Timothy about these kinds of listeners. 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4 says, "The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables." And so there are some who are very zealous to listen to fables, and these fables may be, someone might be pretending as though these fables are the Word of God, but what they're zealous to hear is not the real truth that's based upon the Word of God. And so it's good to be zealous to hear religious messages, but those messages need to be coming from the Word of God, or else our zeal is going to be misdirected. There are some who are very zealous for things that God intends to be spiritual things, and they're things that if we approach them with the right attitude, that they are good things, but if we approach them with a carnal mindset, then we can totally misunderstand their purpose. And for example, if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and in verse 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and in verse 12, here the Holy Spirit through Paul is talking about these spiritual gifts that were given prior to the complete revealed Word of God. And these gifts that were given for the purpose of edification. But some here at Corinth appear to be misunderstanding their purpose, and they are competing with one another or showing off their gifts or saying who's got the most gifts or who's got the best gifts. And they're just viewing this from a very carnal perspective. And Paul tells them there, he says, "Even so you, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church." In other words, these spiritual gifts are something to be zealous about in a way, in a sense, but not the way that you're zealous about it. You're zealous about this in a very carnal way, because you're focusing on who has the best gifts or who has the most gifts, instead of realizing these gifts are given for the purpose of edification. And there's a lot of ways in which, not necessarily following this example, but there's a lot of other ways in which we can be zealous about something that God intends to have a spiritual purpose, but we view it from a very carnal mindset and focus on things that mankind would focus on, instead of focusing on what God focuses on. And so we have to make sure that when we have a zeal for God, that zeal is properly directed towards the things that He wants us to be zealous for, and that zeal is according to knowledge so that it's properly directed. But we also, as we just take a step back and talk more broadly about where our zeal is directed towards in life, we also need to make sure that our zeal is first and foremost directed toward God, and that our fervency is not being focused on worldly things in a way that distracts us from doing the will of God. If you look at Matthew 13, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 22, Jesus here has taught what we call the parable of the sower early on in the chapter. And now when we get down to these few verses here, he's explaining the parable of the sower and what each types of soil represent. And in verse 22, he explains what the seed that fell among the thorns represents. He said, "He also that received seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the cares of this world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." And Jesus there, as he talks about the cares of this world, is not necessarily just talking about things that are blatantly sinful like drunkenness and sexual immorality and things of that nature, although certainly our zeal should not be directed towards that or it's going to be very harmful. But he could just be talking about things that aren't wrong in themselves, but things that can lead us to sin if we are not careful, if they become the focus of our lives and if they distract us from doing the will of God. It's okay to be passionate about certain temporal things that God doesn't forbid us to do. Someone might say they're very passionate about gardening. Someone might say they're very passionate about sports. Someone might say they're very passionate about decorating their house. There's just all sorts of things like that. And it's okay to be passionate about those things to an extent, but we shouldn't have anywhere near as much zeal for those things as we do for God. And we shouldn't have a zeal for those things that causes us to disobey the will of God. If we remember what we talked about in the opening, that our fervency is going to be revealed in our actions. And if we find ourselves dedicating more time to gardening than we do just as a hobby, than we do to praying to God, and we say, well, I wish I could pray to God three times each day as Daniel does, but I just don't have time for that. But we're dedicating a lot more time to gardening as a hobby than we are to praying, then we need to ask ourselves, where's my zeal at? What do I really care about? What am I prioritizing first in my life? If we spend a lot more time watching sports than we do studying the Bible. We say, I wish I had more time to study on a daily basis like the Bereans do or did, but I just don't have that time. But someone were to look at our lives and say, well, you spend more time watching sports than you do studying the Bible. We need to stop and ask ourselves, where's my zeal directed towards? What am I really most passionate about? And we need to each sincerely examine ourselves and ask ourselves that. Because it's very easy for us to allow all of these worldly things that aren't wrong in themselves, but they're things that can easily distract us from doing the will of God if we allow them to take over our lives. And I'm not talking about things that are blatantly sinful, but things that are not forbidden by God, but not commanded either. They're just temporal things that we all engage in, but they're things that need to be very, very secondary relative to the zeal and the fervency that we have directed towards God. We need to make sure that our zeal is foremost directed towards God, and that our zeal for God is much stronger than our zeal for any temporal thing in this life. And then we need to make sure that it's properly directed in the way that it's according to knowledge and not simply based upon our own thoughts and opinions. So for the last point this morning, I want to look at some things in Scripture that we can see that we should direct our fervency and our zeal toward if it's going to be a zeal that is pleasing to God. And if we were to summarize this in one sentence, we might say that our zeal or our fervency needs to be directed towards good works. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, Paul there told Titus that part of the reason Jesus gave himself for us was to redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And so our fervency needs to be directed first and foremost toward doing good works. And if we want to know what a good work is, all we have to do is look into the Bible and see what God has said a good work is, because 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 17 tells us that the Scripture that we have in front of us that's been given by inspiration of God is able to make us thoroughly equipped unto every good work. And so if we want to know what a good work is, as Paul is talking about there in Titus 2:14, we simply need to look at the Word of God and see what has God told us we need to be doing and engaging in, and that we need to be zealous about. And first and foremost, God would have us just to be zealous about Him and about His Word and about studying His Word. Psalm 119:97 gives an illustration there of the kind of mindset that we need to have towards the Word of God. Psalm 119:97 says, "Oh, how love I thy law! It's my meditation all the day." And that may have been in reference to the old law, which was revealed for us in the Old Testament. But that's the same mindset that we need to have towards the new law as well, and towards really the whole Bible. We should love God's Word and digging into His Word and seeing, understanding what it is that He would have us to do and how it is that He would have us to live, and learning from the Old Testament things that can help us to obey His will for us under the New Testament. We should be very zealous about that. And as we're zealous about that, we shouldn't just be zealous about studying so that we can gain knowledge, but we should be zealously studying also so that we can apply God's Word to our lives. And when we find things in God's Word that indicate changes that need to be made in our lives, we need to be very zealous about correcting those things. Be very eager to get rid of that sin that is in our lives. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and in verse 11, Paul there talked about the godly sorrow that the church at Corinth had in their hearts when they recognized sin and just how zealous they were to get rid of that sin and go in the other direction. He uses the phrase there in verse 11, "Yea, what zeal," is how the King James translates it. And so he's saying, you were so zealous and so eager to just get rid of this sin and go in the opposite direction of it. And that needs to be the zeal that we have when we find sin in our lives. We need to be very zealous to correct that sin. And as we study the Bible, we're inevitably going to find things that we need to correct or we need to grow in, we need to change, and we should be very zealous to do what God would have us to do. But not only should we be zealous to do that for ourselves or study God's Word for ourselves, but we should also be zealous about sharing God's message with others when we have the ability and the opportunity. Back in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, as the early church that was there at Jerusalem, that was established back in Acts chapter 2, as they were being persecuted by a man who was very, very zealous to persecute them and cast them out of their homes. But as they were being cast out of their homes and they went throughout all the regions of Samaria and all the regions of Judea, it says, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. They were very zealous about sharing this message with others, and we should have that same zeal, that same fervency about sharing God's word when you have the ability and the opportunity. We should be very zealous about our brethren and specifically helping our brethren in any way that we can. We should be very concerned for our brethren. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 13 talks about a man there named Epaphras. And Paul says there in verse 13 about this man Epaphras, he says, "I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis." In other words, this is someone who had a great care, a great concern for the church at Colossae, as well as those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. And that's the zeal that we need to have for our brethren. We should be zealous to help our brethren in any way that we can when they are in need of help. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 2 talks about how zealous the church at Corinth was to give to those who were in need. Paul said there that he was boasting about them to the churches of Macedonia, how they have been very eager and ready to give. And he says there at the end of that verse, "Your zeal has provoked very many." And so the fervency that they directed towards helping those who were in need was a great influence on others, as they could see the fire and the passion that the Corinthian brethren had for helping out in that particular situation. And we should be very zealous for helping out as God would have us to when we have ability and opportunity. And that's limited depending upon the way in which we are helping out. Can be God's authorized us to help in certain ways depending upon the situation. But really, when we have ability and opportunity, we should be seeking to help anyone and everyone in a way that God's Word allows and authorizes. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, "Do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith." And we should be very zealous to do good to anyone and everyone when we have the ability and opportunity, and to do good in the way that God has commanded. And so our fervency or our zeal needs to be directed towards God, towards His Word, towards doing the things that we see revealed in His Word, and helping others to do the same. And then we should be zealous for going to God in prayer and asking for His help with all of this. As 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 says that we need to be praying without ceasing, or praying continuously. That needs to be what characterizes our prayer life. And so this isn't an exhaustive list of things that we need to direct our fervency towards, but it just gives us an idea of the kinds of things that we need to be very zealous for, because there's so many other things that we can very easily direct our zeal towards. It's good to be passionate and zealous and on fire about doing things that are right, but not doing things that are wrong. And there's so many ways that we can direct our zeal towards things that are wrong, as we see exemplified in Scripture. And we need to make sure that we are zealous for doing things that are right. And to tie all this together, I want to go back to the example of Jesus there in John chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Jesus is someone, as we just consider his life, he was not very zealous, at least it doesn't appear so, about a lot of the things that people of this world are zealous about. He didn't seem to care that much about earthly riches and gaining a lot to save up for retirement. He didn't seem to care a lot about building a nice earthly home. In fact, he said in Luke 9:58 that he was homeless. He didn't seem to care really that much at all about those kinds of things. But he was very, very zealous to do the will of God. And we see that illustrated there in John chapter 2. Jesus didn't just recognize that there was error and point out, well, that's error there and that should be fixed. He was very zealous to do his part to correct that error. And it's a striking passage to read how Jesus reacted there in verses 15 and 16. But it demonstrates for us how zealous he was for his Father's will being done. And that's the same zeal that we need to have directed towards doing the will of God. We need to be on fire for doing the will of God. We need to be so passionate about it that it could be said we're on fire, we're very zealous about it, and make sure that what we're directing that towards is truly the will of God that's revealed for us in the Bible. And so as we come back to this passage in Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, the need for us to be fervent in spirit, hopefully we can better understand how it is that we can do that and make sure we do it in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. There may be some here this morning who aren't yet children of God, and if you are in that situation, we would encourage you, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're willing to confess that, you're willing to repent of your sins and be buried with him in baptism for the remission of your sins, we'd encourage you to take that step and begin living that life where you give your life to God. And it is something that requires a great deal of work, but it's a work that is very joyful, and it's a work that allows us to have hope of spending eternity in heaven with him, and allows us to have the joy of knowing that we're fulfilling our purpose on earth of pleasing God, and knowing that we can be forgiven and accepted by him even though we don't deserve it. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to be a child of his. And if there are some here this morning who aren't yet children of God, but you have the desire to become one, we would love to help you with that. If you're here and you are a Christian, but you're struggling with something else in your life that we can help you with, whatever that may be, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?